The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Commissioner John Newby. John is the commissioner for the Virginia Department of Veterans Services in Richmond, Virginia. And today we're going to be talking about the department, what it does to support veterans in the Commonwealth, and the role of business, and particularly federal contractors in particular, and how they can support veterans transitioning to the civilian workforce. Commissioner Newby is a veteran himself, having commanded the Air Force Special Operations Forward Air Control Unit and served in Iraq as an aviator aboard a Boeing B-1B Lancer strategic bomber. John, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Roger. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation. We are facing, I think, and I'll let you talk about the numbers and what's going on, sort of a tidal wave of veterans coming back from conflict and transitioning to the civilian workforce after, more than a decade of war.
Correct.
So first, let's just try to paint the picture of where we are and, as a nation and also in the Commonwealth. So what are the numbers right now, John?
Yeah, just broadly speaking, and you're right, Roger, we are looking squarely in the face of a major change in the number of veterans in the nation and indeed in the Commonwealth over the next 4 or 5 years. It's been approximated that possibly upwards of 1 million active duty service members are going to be transitioning nationwide over the next 4 to 5 years, and I hazard a guess that a large portion of those will be right here in Virginia, given the number of military installations that we do have here. Virginia currently has nearly 800,000 veterans in our state. And that puts us at seventh in the nation in terms of absolute numbers of veterans. And over the next few years, we're projected to rise up that list to become fourth in the nation in terms of absolute veterans population. So we're going to have a large number of veterans that hopefully we're going to be able to keep in the Commonwealth. They bring a large skill set, a large knowledge base that we can leverage for, quite frankly, the Virginia economy. And convince them to partake in our educational systems, our colleges, universities, community colleges, et cetera. And we also need to be prepared to provide those veterans with all manner of services that are needed by the new generation of veterans that are going to call Virginia home.
Right. So do you have a sense of, you said Virginia is going to rise to the fourth most veterans
Correct.
Over the next couple of years. So that's a significant number. We're talking tens of thousands who are probably going to settle here, is that right? Does that sound right?
I think that's right. I mean, right now in Virginia, on an annual basis, we are very fortunate that, well north of tens of thousands of veterans a year retire or separate from the service and remain in Virginia. I mean, in the Hampton Roads area alone, which of course has a major naval presence, we see on an annual basis about 8,000 persons separating and staying in Virginia. So those numbers are only going to increase, and that, of course, correlates with the nationwide increase in the number of people leaving the military and trying to find a home in some state, and Virginia is going to become the beneficiary of that.
Right. So we've sort of put an objective number on that transition and the number of men and women who are going to be leaving service and transitioning to civilian workforce. But let's, sort of put a human face on it a little bit, and talk about some of the unique challenges that veterans face as they transition from the service to the civilian workforce. That's something you've done as well. So,
sure.
You can provide your personal perspective, but also generally what you see and what your department tries to help veterans with.
Well, the biggest challenges in my mind over the next several years are the challenges that are present today, but are going to become even more so as the numbers increase. And those challenges would be for those post 9/11 veterans returning from combat, the challenge of finding employment, of course, the challenge of finding an educational path which will lead to employment if someone desires to do it that way. And, of course, those persons who want to come back and do neither of those two find a way to open his or her own business. The challenge of learning how to do that, and those are things that the department assists with. And, of course, the department needs to be able to assist those individuals who come back with even greater challenges, that is, those behavioral challenges that sometimes persons face as a result of service or as a result of combat, PTSD, the TBI, and other things that don't have acronyms, helping those people transition to become full citizens within the Commonwealth of Virginia. That's going to be a challenge for some, and the department stands ready to help those persons as well.
So we'll talk a little bit about some of those challenges. I just want to give you an opportunity to provide your take as some of the unique experiences you had when you transitioned from the service to the civilian life and work life.
Sure. My transition occurred back in 2001, and in many aspects, I was very fortunate. I came from a military family. My dad had spent 30 years in the Army, so while I was looking at wrapping up my career, my father at the same time had already done so just a few years before. So I saw him firsthand with some of the challenges of transitioning from active to the civilian sector. So I had an example, and he told me to be prepared. So I left active duty. As you said, I was actually commanding a small special operations, Air Force Special Operations team at Fort Bragg. I left from command of that position on a Friday and went right to law school the following Monday.
Oh, wow.
So my transition was rather rapid, but it was only because I had seen my father's example, and his instruction to me was to be prepared, so I had laid that out. And that's the exact recommendation I give to anyone who's transitioning. Don't wait until the day before. Prepare a year and a half out and thinking about what's next.
Right. You spoke at the Coalition for Government Procurements. We did a forum event on best practices in hiring veterans. And, the thing that really did strike me in your keynote address was this being prepared a year and a half in advance, that thinking about, strategies, basically preparing yourself and your family for transition to civilian life. That really struck home to me. And that's something that I hadn't really heard many people talk about. It seems so fundamental and so common sense. But why do you think, is that something that, the services now are doing more to try to get people to think that way? Or is it something that transitioning to civilian workforce and separation from the service aren't really talked about that much? Can you talk about where that is?
Sure, Roger. I think over time it has gotten a lot better. So I'll think about my dad's transition back in the early 90s. Those programs were nearly non-existent for transitioning service members to fully prepare for what's next. And indeed, in my transition back in the late 90s, early 2000s, what was offered by the service was perhaps less than adequate. I think the services have evolved over time and over the years, and they realize that every service member at some point will become a veteran. And they need to deal with that reality and prepare individuals as much as they can, mission first, but also realize in the future, prepare those individuals for the transition. So I think today, some of the transition assistance programs and other things that the federal government has for veterans is a step in the right direction. But I still hear from veterans who say that the transition assistance programs on the installations that are provided still don't fully prepare those individuals for walking through the gates and leaving the service. So that's where, thankfully, in Virginia, localities have stepped up. My Department of Veteran Services, stepped up to fill in the gaps, if you will, for those transition education opportunities that the servicemen don't have on the installations. We want to give them that information off the installation if needed, and that's where our Virginia Transition Assistance Program comes in to fill those gaps. And localities are doing as well. So to answer your question, it's gotten better over time, but there's still a need for a more complete and thorough education for our service members to prepare them to leave the military.
All right. Well, John, we do have to take our first break, but when we come back, we'll talk about filling those gaps and what your department does to support veterans throughout the Commonwealth. My guest today is Commissioner John Newby. He is a commissioner of the Virginia Department of Veterans Services, and you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The mission of government involves critical efforts to improve national defense, economic security, health services, and citizens' lives. The strategy and technology consultants of Booz Allen Hamilton are proud to help government address cyber threats, reform the financial system, modernize infrastructure, and protect our nation. For nearly 100 years, Booz Allen has partnered with clients to deliver results that endure. To see Booz Allen's ideas in action, visit BoozAllen.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Commissioner John Newby. He is the Commissioner of the Virginia Department of Veterans Services in Richmond, Virginia. And John, when we took the break, you started talking about filling in the gaps and the support that your department provides veterans, in particular transitioning to the civilian workforce. And I'm just going to, I think, open it up and give you an opportunity to talk to the listeners about what the Virginia Department of Veterans Services mission is, what you do, and we can talk about some of the specific programs that you have as well. So go at
Great.
It.
Great, Roger. I appreciate that. Well, you know, our mission is to provide every veteran with a need here in the Commonwealth with a service. And when we do that through six main areas of focus or service lines, if you will, we started to talk about some of our employment, education, and training services, and that is indeed one of our service lines. And under that service line is where we do provide veterans assistance with the transition process, as well as that is the service line where our Virginia Values Veterans Program resides. And I hope to have a moment to speak about that. It's a very unique program that we have for employers, teaching them the value of hiring veterans. So that's one service line. Another service line is our Virginia Wounded Warrior Program. And what this program does is pretty much nearly what it says. It takes those veterans who have a particular behavioral health need that has resulted from military service, whether it be combat or otherwise, and provide them those behavioral health resources in the Commonwealth or point them to federal resources to help them overcome those problems, either as individuals or as family units. We also have in Virginia my third service line, which is long-term care facilities. We have two long-term care facilities, state homes for veterans, if you will, one in Roanoke and one in Richmond. That provide long-term care for those veterans who have reached the age and qualify or are qualifying Virginia citizens for long-term rehabilitative health care and long-term residence.
How big are those facilities, John?
Currently, the Richmond facility is located adjacent to the McGuire VA Hospital. Mm-hmm. And that facility currently has 160 beds. This summer, we hope to open our expansion, which will add another 40 beds to bring it to a total of 200 beds. And Roanoke is near the Salem VA Hospital, and the Roanoke facility has 240 beds.
Okay, you mentioned the VA hospital. So how does the Commonwealth coordinate with the VA? How is it supplement the VA? How does, I mean, because I think when most folks think of you know. Veteran support for veterans who have suffered injury during conflict. You know, they think about the VA and VA hospitals and VA
That's
facilities.
Right.
How is Virginia supplemented? What's the sort of relationship between the two? I guess
absolutely, Roger. You know, Virginia and our three VA hospitals are great partners. There's a hospital in Hampton Roads, a hospital in Richmond, and a hospital in Salem, which is in Roanoke. Great partners, but we, of course, are separate and distinct from those hospitals. You know, it's very easy for a veteran to think veteran services and just lump, the state resources with the federal Department of Veterans Affairs. It's done every day, and it doesn't help also, Roger, that the Virginia's abbreviation is VA.
Right.
So.
yeah.
So you have that as well. But the relationship is great, and it's very symbiotic. As a matter of fact, I have another service line, or my benefit service line, where we have offices across the Commonwealth where veterans can come and have benefits, you know, applications for federal VA benefits. We help them with that. You know, our benefits offices, we have a benefits office co-located on the campus of all three of the VA hospitals. So the directors at each of those hospitals knows about our mission, supports our mission, and also, you know, we have great relations between the Salem facility and our Roanoke Long-Term Care Center, and similarly here in Richmond, a great relationship between the McGuire facility and our Sitter and Barfoot long-term care facility, because, you know, they both provide medical care, so they do have a relationship. So the relationship's great, but to answer your question, we are two separate systems, but we definitely work together very, very well.
Okay. So you're up to number four. You just mentioned the benefits service line. That's number four, I guess.
So number four was the benefits service line, which I started to talk about. We have 23 benefits offices across the state. And again, in those offices, we offer this service to have veterans come and allow the state of Virginia to help them process and prosecute their application for federal pension and compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. Great, successful program. We help upwards of 24,000 claims a year through those offices, and it brings back, all told, you know, well close to about $2 billion worth of compensation and pension benefits from the VA to the pockets of Virginia veterans. It's a great service.
Wow, that's a big number.
So we have two more. We have veteran cemeteries in the Commonwealth. We have three of them, one in Dublin out west, one in Amelia, which is just to the west of Richmond, and one in Suffolk. Of course, those provide final services for Virginia veterans and their qualifying family members. And finally, we have the Virginia War Memorial situated right here in Richmond where I sit. I think it is the best war memorial in the nation, and it even rivals many of the federal war memorials. Great facility sitting at, right on the James River. And I welcome all of your listeners at some point, if they ever pass through Richmond off of a US 1, drop on by and see us at the war memorial.
Right. I lived in Richmond for about 4 years, and yeah, it's quite a monument, a memorial. I encourage everybody to go see that. You know, so one of the things I wanted to, we might as well get into it, and we can, you know, we're getting close to the end of this segment, but Virginia Values Veterans, can you talk about, that's one of your, I guess, cornerstone programs. Can you start talking about that? I know we're going to have to take a break in about a minute, but you can start that, and we can continue it in the next break. So go ahead.
Absolutely, Roger. Just very briefly, Virginia Values Veterans is a program that we have that targets, it doesn't target the veteran, and this is kind of counterintuitive. What it targets is the employers, the companies in Virginia, to teach them how to hire, train, and retain veterans. And we found that to be a very good way to ultimately get veterans hired and, most importantly, keep them hired in Virginia. Fantastic program. It's been around for nearly 3 years now. Great track record of success. And we were really happy that we have over 200 partner Virginia companies who are part of that program that allows us to help them hire and retain veterans.
So, and how long has that program been around now?
So nearly 3 years, and in that 3 years, we've had companies, you know, nearly 200, over 200, probably about 230 companies now become Virginia Values Veterans certified, and they've all pledged a total of north of 10,000 veteran jobs, and we've actually realized over 6,000 veterans actually employed through that program.
So, hey, we do have to take that break, but when we come back, we'll continue our discussion about Virginia Values Veterans, that program, some of the training that's offered, and also talk about why it's great business to hire veterans and bring them into your organization to meet your business needs and be in your business mission. My guest today is Commissioner John Newby. He is the Commissioner of Virginia Department of Veteran Services in Richmond, Virginia, and you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Commissioner John Newby. He is the Commissioner of the Virginia Department of Veterans Services. And John, when we took the break, we had started talking a little bit about Virginia Values Veterans, a unique sort of training program that supports veterans by outreach to businesses here in the Commonwealth, and I wanted to go back to that. And can you talk a little bit about some of the specifics of the training and support you provide businesses who are, you know, motivated or interested in hiring veterans, learning more about best practices for supporting veterans?
Absolutely, Roger. And I want to make an important point out front. Virginia Values Veterans is for any company that has a desire to hire a veteran. And it matters not the size of the company. Indeed, we have companies ranging from, you know, Fortune 100 all the way down to smaller companies with 10, maybe 15 employees total. So it's for every company in Virginia of any size, of any variety. If you desire to hire a veteran, we want to help you do just that.
Okay, John, just one second. And then I'm going to ask you again, but right now, give them the where can they go to find learn more about it, and then we'll continue our conversation.
Absolutely. You can go to www.dvsv3.com, and I'll have to revert to my military days. That's Delta Victor Sierra Victor 3.com, and that is the Virginia Values Veterans website.
Okay, great. So continue.
Sure. So what the program does is it first asks the company of how many veterans do you desire to hire over the course of the next year. The company makes that decision on their own, and we help them actually through the process of coming to a number if they're unable to do that on their own. So we get their initial pledge. We put them on a training calendar where we go and do a combination of both group trainings across the Commonwealth, where we bring several employers into one room and provide necessary training modules on, you know, how to hire, train, and retain veterans. And we also do individual outreach. If a company wants a personal touch, which most do, we actually dispatch and go and deal with those companies one-on-one and individually. So it's a very personalized kind of a method of training that we do on these concepts. And again, we have had great success with this. And the governor has actually put out a challenge to myself to make sure that by the end of his term, he wants to have seen the number of veterans hired through this program doubled from the number that that was hired at the beginning of his administration. So we're well on our way to getting to that 10,000-plus number of veterans hired in Virginia through the Virginia Values Veterans Program.
It sounds like a wonderful program, and especially in Northern Virginia with all the government contractors here who deal with the government and deal with the Department of Defense, I think I would imagine they would be very motivated to be interested in this kind of program, just because hiring folks who have been in the service, who have worked for the department, it you know, just lends greater credibility to their organizations. And also, you know, knowing the customer and the customer's mission and needs, I think, is critical for providing great service. How has the response been here in Northern Virginia to the program?
The response has been fantastic. And just a full disclaimer, I actually, before taking this job or coming to the administration, I was at a government contractor up there in Northern Virginia. So I'm actually, you know, during my civilian life attorney, I spent part of it as a government contracts attorney. So I saw firsthand in that company, as you said, it makes perfect sense to hire veterans who not just know the subject matter, but just know the services that are being served by those companies. And we've had great success. Several large and medium-sized government contractors are members of Virginia Values Veterans. And let's be clear. Many of these companies were doing this anyhow, and were doing it even before Virginia Values Veterans was established. But they realized that the benefit that they get out of this, and quite frankly, the benefit the Commonwealth gets, is Virginia Values Veterans serves as a repository of best practices. So these companies come together and go through the training, and then they share among themselves how, you know, the successes and quite frankly, some of the drawbacks and failures in hiring veterans. And that itself is beneficial to any company of any size, of any particular background, whether it be government contracting or other, in order to get to the ultimate target, and that target being to hire a veteran.
Right. So, you know, when you talked about best practices, what, you know, from your perspective and what you've learned through both, you know, where you are now as a commissioner of the Department of Veterans Services, but also in your previous life transitioning to civilian workforce and working for a major contractor. What are some of the key attributes of a successful hiring program that supports veterans?
The first step, of course, is recognizing that there's a need to hire a veteran. I mean, some companies don't even appreciate that much, and once they appreciate that, you're off to the races. Specific outreach to veterans, I think, is a best practice. And it does take effort sometimes. If a company happens to be blessed with having veterans on staff, you have a ready group of potential mentors and outreach agents. But some companies don't have that. But a best practice certainly is targeted, specific outreach to veterans, whether it be word of mouth or actually the way you word your job postings, for instance. Tailoring it to specific skill sets that you know veterans have and that you need. A great thing that you can do, and this is a related best practice, is within your job postings, realize that sometimes it's not absolutely required that someone has a particular degree or credential, and help the veteran out by saying, something to the effect of or equivalent experience to the extent that you can. Now, understanding in government contractors sometimes are, of course, limited by the requirements of the contract.
Sure.
And you must list specific educational requirements. But to the extent that you can, provide yourself, the company should provide themselves with some wiggle room, understanding that these veterans have experience that at times way outweighs having a certificate on the wall. So best practice is to tailor those job postings to capture those people and help them get into your workforce. And perhaps, Roger, one more best practice is in the area of retention. Retention is always the linchpin of a good veterans hiring program. And it's the same for any constituency that you're trying to hire. You want to retain
those
people because it costs money to go out and find these people. But if you want to retain a veteran, some best practices are, recognizing the veteran's experience and their experience in leadership and the desire to be challenged and provide those challenges to the veteran so they can step up and feel part of a team and feel that they have a chance in leadership in your company, because leadership is a fundamental tenet of being a service person no matter what you do. And also veteran mentors. Once the person is on board, and if you want to provide a veteran mentorship program, if you have enough persons in your staff to do that, that's a great retention tool to make veterans understand, get better knowledge of how the civilian side works and how your company works, and make them, quite frankly, feel that they have a place because they have a mentor there who's been there, done it, and they can see a path forward.
Yeah, I think that mentoring is especially critical and is a great feature, best practice that companies do employ and to your point, need to focus on in terms of retention. It's, it's like a government contract, right? The sort of flashy part is doing the initial award, but where the rubber meets the road is when you're in contract performance and contract administration. I analogize that to you hire the veteran, but to retain the veteran and, develop and help them develop professionally and in your organization, that's the even harder part and most more important part, I think, to a certain extent.
That's exactly right. That's the analogy I would use as well.
Yeah. So with regard to support to veterans in terms of when they're looking for jobs, I know you do networking as part of Virginia Values Veterans. Do you provide advice too about resume writing and things like some of the basic fundamentals of job search?
We indeed do, and that actually is under a separate but related program, our Virginia Transition Assistance Program, that was mentioned a little bit earlier. They work hand-in-hand with our V3 program for obvious reasons, but it is the Virginia Transition Assistance Program that attempts to teach veterans the value of making sure that they know their target audience when they're applying for a job, they know the companies. They try to reach into those companies through their networks and realize that oftentimes their MOSs or AFSCs and the descriptions they use for what they do don't exactly line up with real English and what companies use. So
they're written by a bunch of lawyers, probably, right?
yeah, that's right. But so, yes, we do make veterans aware through our VTAP program of the need to really understand how to draft a resume and how to translate, quite frankly, their experiences into something that a company would want.
Right. John, we'd have to take our last break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Commissioner John Newby. He's the commissioner of the Virginia Department of Veterans Services. And we'll talk a little bit about the challenge of housing for veterans and some other areas as well, and maybe finish up with a little bit about your personal experiences while you were serving our country.
Sure.
My guest today is Commissioner John Newby, Commissioner, Department of Veterans Services in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Commissioner John Newby, Commissioner of the Virginia Department of Veterans Services. And, you know, John, when we took the break, you had described the Veterans Transition Services Program as one of the areas where Virginia is assisting veterans, one of your six programs. And, you know, the support in terms of counseling on how to find jobs. Another area I know that is a big challenge for veterans is housing. And I know, just last month or so, Governor McAuliffe had announced that it's been significant progress in Virginia in ending veterans' homelessness. But I want you to speak about that issue,
sure.
You know, what the challenge is, what is going on, and then also talk about, the 100-day challenge and the things that Virginia is doing to combat homelessness amongst our veterans.
Of course. And as we all know, Roger, you know, one homeless person on the street is one too many.
Absolutely.
And definitely one homeless veteran is absolutely unacceptable. And that's something that Governor McAuliffe identified as a problem that he wanted to attack head on. And just brief background, there was a point in time count done of homeless veterans on the streets of Virginia back in January of 2014. And at that time, at least the count, going out there and talking to veterans on the street, there were about 620 homeless veterans in the Commonwealth. What the governor said is that's way too many. Indeed, one is too many. And he signed on to what is called the Mayor's Challenge to End Veterans Homelessness by 2015. The state of Virginia became only the fourth state in the nation at that time to become a member of that challenge to end homelessness in the state of Virginia. And what does that mean? That means by the end of 2015, we want to have essentially a functional zero number of veterans on the street who are homeless or are looking for shelter. And so where does that bring us today? So after the governor did that this past summer and declared that he will have veterans homelessness licked by the end of 2015, the Department of Veterans Services, along with the Department of Housing and other entities, got together and said, we need to coordinate our efforts at the community level to attack homelessness. And this past November, we initiated what's called the 100-Day Challenge. And in that 100-day challenge, we got localities to pledge certain numbers of veterans by the end of that 100 days that would come off the street. The main pockets of veterans homelessness would be Richmond, the Peninsula and Hampton Roads, South Hampton Roads, and Roanoke. And so we started that 100-day challenge in November. In February, as you mentioned, we had an update of where we stand and did we meet the challenge. And in short, we did, and indeed we blasted past our goals. In February, the governor announced that we successfully housed, within that time period, just 100 days, over 400 veterans across the Commonwealth. That's, of course, way north of 50% of the total 620 point-in-time count. So in February, we had housed, by that time, 400 veterans. So you can see that's a great positive trend line that we will be able to lay claim to. By the end of the year, we fully anticipate to get that number down to zero because we've done such a great job just within the first 100 days of attacking this issue, getting with localities, getting unified effort towards this problem.
Right. I assume that, you know, this is also an issue where you have to maintain focus on it, right? Because there's still veterans who are leaving service every day and, you know, facing challenges and, you know, unfortunately, potentially, you know, becoming homeless. So it's not something that's a one-time deal.
It's not
deal.
A one-and-done.
Right.
It's not a one-and-done kind of thing, and the governor has realized that just in the past budget that was passed just a few weeks ago. The governor has dedicated $180,000 more to my department to attack this issue, and nearly $1 million spread across other state agencies to continue the specific efforts towards not only ending veterans homelessness now, but making sure that when we reach that zero at the end of 2015, we continue to attack, because as you say, veterans literally hit the streets every day, and those numbers continue to increase, and we need to keep ahead of that.
Right. So if people want to learn more about, you know, this particular program,
sure.
What website, give that to us again? Or
surely. So the department website is www.dvs.virginia.com. That's Delta Victor Sierra .virginia.com. And on that website, our homelessness efforts are under our Wounded Warrior program. So all six of my service lines are listed on that website. You can go there and find out more.
Right, and that's where you can find out more about the Virginia Values Veterans Program as well?
That's correct. You can link through dvs.virginia.com, or you can go straight to dvsv3.com.
You know, and I guess that another thing I wanted to ask you about, and it's an interesting development, and I was not aware of it, and maybe tell the listeners a little bit about the idea of veteran treatment courts, problem-solving courts to support veterans who have these unique challenges. What is that concept or idea?
So in short, about 35 states in the nation have what they call veterans treatment dockets or veterans courts, whatever you want to call it. But the bottom line is this. There are federal resources available to help veterans who come in contact with the criminal justice system. Unfortunately, there's oftentimes not a coordinated understanding and knowledge of how to connect veterans who do get thrown in jail to those resources. That is the gist of a veterans docket or veterans court or problem-solving docket or whatever you want to call it. That's the need that's present here in Virginia. We have a few localities who are doing this. Fairfax County up there in Northern Virginia just started a veterans treatment docket that brings veterans who come in contact with the criminal justice system onto a specialized docket to put them in contact with federal resources, to put them in contact with veteran mentors, to steer them in the right direction, to make sure that they complete their time and most importantly, don't get back into trouble. But that's what's needed here in Virginia. And with Virginia, with the number of veterans that we have, you can appreciate how
Absolutely.
Many veterans get in trouble. But that's the need here in Virginia, and we're working hard to try to get some legislation and hopefully in the next General Assembly session to make that happen.
Well, we got about a couple minutes left in the show, and I wanted to, just sort of get your take on sort of what, you served, you went to law school and became a government contract mm-hmm. attorney, and now you are serving in a different position. What sort of motivated you to, take on the role as a commissioner of the Virginia Department of Veteran Services?
Right. I had always wanted at some point to get back to serving the public good. I did not know in what capacity that would have happened. I came from a family that was into public service, I think the ultimate public service, quite frankly, in serving our country in uniform. And I wanted to get back to that, to serve our nation and in our communities. I had the opportunity offered to me, and I had to take it. Again, I never planned it this way. It was just something that I was blessed to be able to have the opportunity to do. And I'm really happy I had a chance to do it, especially because, hey, we're dealing with veterans, which is near and dear to my heart. And I think I can have no better mission at the current time than to help Virginia veterans in any way that we can.
And, now more than ever, right, as when we started the show with the numbers in terms of veterans who are going to be transitioning to the civilian workforce over the next 4 to 5 years is pretty staggering. If it's close to a million, that's a big number.
That's right.
So how do you feel about where your department is positioned moving forward over the next 2 or 3 years to meet this challenge? I mean, you've described a great program today. How do you feel?
The only way I can describe how I feel is outstanding, and that's because we have the full support of Governor McAuliffe. He has come into office, and he said we have to make sure our veterans are treated properly, given the respect they're due, and most importantly, given the resources they need to succeed and stay in Virginia. And this governor has put his money where his mouth is. He has given us resources for the department to bolster our homelessness efforts, to bolster our benefits efforts in other areas. So he's not just talking it, he's doing it. And my department, the people in my department are seeing it. And at the end of the day, the veterans in the Commonwealth are going to see it with the number of services that we are able to deliver.
Right. Hey, John, we're wrapping up the show. So I want to thank you for your past service and your current service. I mean, what you're doing right now, it's vital work to support our veterans. And I know, we all appreciate that. I want to thank my guest today, Commissioner John Newby. He is a commissioner of the Virginia Department of Veterans Services. And you have been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.